This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Store's beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy six Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1 liter flavors and get the seventh free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy six and get the seventh free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, Metroplex. Shout out to the 7 a.m. Club. We want to hook you up for turning it on, leaving it on. And that'll happen during the commercial-free expressway starting at 7:20. We have PBR tickets, and we have live baseball as well. The Dodgers in Japan are leading the Cubs 3-1 in the middle of the seventh inning. Sean Sharif, RJ Choppy, Cowboys insider Bobby Roberto Belt, and ESPN is coming out with some offseason grades.
Yes, sir, they are. Look at some of the Cowboy players and some that left, like Rico Dowdle. And see how Seth Walter, who I really like, he's one of their more analytical guys. He's fantastic, but he went out and graded these players. So Fowler, Dante Fowler Jr., 1 year, $6 million deal, can get up to $8 million, gives it a B plus grade.
Like it.
He says, maybe they're paying for an outlier season, but, you know, he had the 10.5 sacks, the second double-digit sack season of his career, but he's a better pass rusher on a down-to-down basis than one might think. He had a 21% pass rush win rate, eighth best in the NFL last year, but also 29% in a smaller sample size in 2023. He hasn't usually been that productive, but he's got a 19% win rate since 2017, which is above average for a pass rusher. And, of course, you're getting him at a very cheap rate.
So weird how I think we all feel better about Dante Fowler than at the start of his career in Jacksonville as the number three pick. Here's a guy who's been in the league. I don't want to screw up my years again like yesterday. But he's been in the league since 2016. The sack totals are 4-8-2-2. He gets to the Rams 11.5, and then he had 10.5 last year in Washington. It's like it feels like he's better, older.
And this is why when you see somebody like Dante Fowler, that's why the Cowboys say, let's take our flyers on Solomon Thomas and Kyer Elam. Now, Solomon Thomas has established himself as a decent player, but not like high volume stuff. But that's why they want to gamble on these high upside players and just say, maybe it just didn't click with them in this other area, and this will be the time where they finally fall into place.
He does say, I'd rather have Fowler at $6 million, upwards to $8 million, than to get Leonard Floyd for $10 million, which is what Atlanta paid. All right, so that is player number one. Panthers get Rico Dowdle. 1 year, $3 million, get up to $6 million. They give it an A-.
A-.
And that's kind of a little scary to me because it's like, all right, that tells you that he thinks they should have brought him back for that. And there's no doubt that the guys they brought in, Sanders and Javonte, probably aren't as good as him, straight up.
Yeah.
So.
Look, I mean, Rico
but David Dowdle. Moore in the Dallas Morning News, and a lot of times he gets it from the Cowboys front office. It sounds like they evaluated Javonte Williams as good or a better player. So we are going to find out.
We're going to find out. We'll find out.
And it's not crazy if Javonte Williams is as good or better than Rico. Javonte Williams really flashed in Denver before falling off.
No, those first 2 years before he got hurt, he was better than Dowdle. Like, that's not even a question. And as somebody, I think it was Joe Hoyt, pointed it out on Twitter, it's not just the timing of the injury. That's also the timing of when Sean Payton got there. So there's a little bit of a question of like, okay, is Sean Payton doing necessarily everything to maximize Javonte Williams?
And Javonte actually played, and again, a lot of times this Julio Jones has forever scarred me with games played because it always felt like when you're playing fantasy, questionable game time, nicked up, banged up, limited. Javonte played 16 games and 17 games in his last 2 years. Mm-hmm. He's played 17-4, 16-17. So he played more games right. The last 2 years than I would have thought.
Yeah, he did. That's true. You know, that's how does he look post the injury? If they think he looks the same on film, then he looks the same on film. The trade for Kenneth Murray. So the Cowboys get Murray and a seventh, so pick number 239, and they give up a sixth. The Titans get a B+. The Cowboys get a C- on this one. And I'll give you the whole write-up here. So the Cowboys needed to add linebackers. They bring in a veteran who has 67 career starts between his four seasons with L.A. and Tennessee. His numbers are not ideal. 24% run-stop win rate last year, ranked fifth worst among off-ball linebackers with 300 snaps played, a career low.
Ugh.
But he has always been below average in that category. He showed some pass rush skills in Tennessee. 11 wins, 28% win rate. Good figure for an off-ball linebacker, but a small piece of what he does. His nearest defender coverage metrics are average. The run-stopping numbers are a red flag. The problem is... what? Oh, just bad?
Yeah, all this is bad.
Well, that's not even the worst. He goes, the problem is... So he listed all these problems. He goes, but the real problem is his $7.5 million cash this year. That's real money. Quantifying linebackers is difficult. Clearly, the Cowboys see something in Murray that our numbers do not, but it's tough to justify paying that type, let alone trading for it. You know, and he says the Titans, they're happy to take a couple of pennies of free draft capital.
Kenneth Murray yesterday saying hello to Cowboy fans, talking about what he thinks he can bring to the D.
I mean, I feel like we got, you know, every piece that we need to be a dominant defense in the NFL. I think, you know, just looking at what the staff is wanting to bring to it and then just looking at us, you know, our personnel, I think, you know, we're going to be a really fast defense, a really violent defense. And I think, you know, those are kind of like my first impression. So, yeah, I mean, I think I bring physicality. I think I bring speed, you know, a guy that can run the show, you know, get us in and out of stuff, play calls in and out of down. So, I mean, yeah, I mean, I feel like I bring the piece in the middle that keeps everybody connected between the, you know, the front end and the back end.
And I was about to say, maybe they're looking at him for some leadership aspects. He was a captain last season, and he said, quote, I'm a firm believer you cannot ask people to do something that you're not doing for me. It starts by leading by example. So maybe there's some extra leadership points for Kenneth Murray.
I would imagine is going to be high on the list of guys who might wear that green dot when he's out there.
The Elam trade. So they get Elam at a sixth, pick 204, and they give Buffalo a fifth, 170, and a seventh. Now, the draft pick compensation, because it's the fifth rounder, it's the Cowboys' comp fifth. It's really the equivalent of a mid-sixth if you were to just get rid of all comp picks in the third and fourth rounds. So the Cowboys get a B-minus, the Bills get a B+. In his three seasons, he's made just 13 starts. He missed 14 games in 23, some on injured reserve, some as a scratch, although injuries probably contributed to him being scratched. He played 39% of the defensive snaps in 2024 in the postseason included, active for the playoff games. He's allowed 1.3 yards per coverage snap on 16% target rate, higher than average, but not crazy. He has allowed, you know, total EPA as the nearest defender, and it's been a positive EPA of 23.5. That's good for a defender. Positive is bad for a defender.
That's an early give up by Buffalo on a first round pick. A very early give up. Why does Kyer Elam think it can change with this staff?
I'm confident because I'm coming into a staff that truly, really believes in me. You know what I mean? I don't think they would have made a move if they didn't and wanted to see the best for me. So, like I said, I feel like everything just starts with an opportunity. You know what I mean? So, if I'm able to come in here and compete and show what I could do, like that's all I really need. All I really would want. You know what I mean? I don't need a red carpet or anything like that. I just want to be able to earn it with a fair opportunity. That's it. So that's what I'm gonna strive every day to do. And like I said, I'm coming in with a chip on my shoulder. And really with a deep breath and really just excited to take on like whatever comes in front of me next, like not looking in the past.
All right, so there it is, Inside the Star on your home of the Dallas Cowboys. In case you did not know, a PBR ticket giveaway coming up in about 10 minutes during the commercial-free expressway. Let's check out the quarterbacks and around the rest of the NFL.
All right, went through Albert Breer's mailbag, and he says Rodgers mulling his options, obviously, including retirement.
Yeah, so the thing that has stuck in my mind recently is Kevin O'Connell
has to sign off.
Well, is he saying I like Aaron Rodgers still? As you have these Vikings rumors, and I'm like, okay, the new great quarterback whisperer in the National Football League, Kevin O'Connell, is giving his sign off on this. If they end up having Brett Favre's career play out all over again, yeah, minus the D pick.
Everything that I read yesterday was that they are just that Favre would like Minnesota. They are waiting on O'Connell. They're just waiting on him.
Waiting on O'Connell.
He has to.
He hasn't given his eval yet.
He hasn't signed off on it yet. That's what Breer was talking about.
Man, how you feeling if you're JJ McCarthy if this happens? They let Sam Darnold go. All right, finally my time here. Oh, you. I mean, this would make me feel even more right that the great Kevin O'Connell doesn't think JJ McCarthy is ready. He may not be ready physically, to be fair. But if I'm McCarthy, I'm like, are you freaking kidding me? You're gonna bring in this old man who may be washed, according to league thoughts?
Yeah, according to league thoughts, some people in the league, two rival executives, obviously opposite. One say an AFC exec said he's on the downside, flashes the arm talent, but the depreciation and mobility that made him great is gone. Others say he could still absolutely chuck it all over the field. They're waiting. It's Pittsburgh waiting. The Giants are waiting. Minnesota is waiting. Adam Schefter's all ticked off that he's waiting. He went on McAfee. I think it was McAfee last week.
Yeah.
And just kind of really laid into Rodgers.
Over what?
Because Rodgers doesn't talk to him is why, but he made it seem like you're holding everybody up. Just make a decision. We're so tired of it. But in reality, it's code for he doesn't get back to Adam Schefter.
Yeah, Peyton has the cut. We had it last week. He'll look it up and get the cut from Schefty. But Schefter's all upset that he's like, make your mind up.
Shut up, Adam.
Which, it's these NFL guys are obviously never heard of Major League Baseball. These free agents wait weeks on weeks on weeks. Here's Schefty.
To me, this shouldn't be that hard, right? Like, the Steelers want you. The Giants want you. We're seeing players across the league make decisions. It shouldn't be that hard. Either you want to play or you don't. You want to play Pittsburgh or you don't. You want to play in New York or you don't. Like, Chewy, what are you going to have for lunch? You make a decision, you're going to drag it out for 4 days, 5 days, a week. Like, it's not that hard. Make the decision and live with it.
Wow. And he had the guts to actually say that on McAfee, Aaron Rodgers' home. I'm really surprised over that comment. To sit there, you say stay out of someone's wallet. Stay out of someone's mind when they're picking their final and last playing stop. And it's hard for me to defend Aaron Rodgers, but yeah, Bobby, that sounds like some bitterness.
We all think it, and it's just, that's the way he actually came out and said it.
What the hell are the Falcons doing? They let Kirk Cousins' contract for 2026 guaranteed to $10 million, Bobby. Meaning he just got a raise, right? And now they're stuck with him. So now it's a fully – he's got a full – you got the extra $10 million guaranteed for 2026 because the fifth day of the league year has come and gone. Are they just waiting for someone to be left at the altar on draft day so they could trade him?
I guess. I'd love to be able to tell you what they're thinking, but over the course of the last year, I have no understanding of anything they've done with Kirk Cousins along the way. I don't have a clue why they signed him, why they played things out the way they did, why they then drafted Penix. I have no clue with all the... Maybe Penix didn't make them feel super comfortable at the end, or they just want to hold somebody hostage. I have no idea.
In 23 seasons, Tom Brady earned $332 million. 332. Cousins in 14 seasons has earned 331.6.
Wow.
Well done, Mike McCartney.
Mike McCartney.
Business, as Andrew Brandt calls it, Kirk Cousins is a member of the Business of Sports Hall of Fame.
Yep.
He belongs in the Business of Sports Hall of Fame.
Mike McCartney is the agent.
And they're really ruining their cheat code, which is a free quarterback, a free young quarterback. They're wasting it by paying Kirk Cousins as well. And finally, the Saints, they did the unthinkable. They flipped the poison pill switch on Derek Carr's contract. And now they're basically stuck with him. They took $30 million and added it to an already $29 million they have on their cap through 2029. Basically, now they owe $60 million over those years to his cap number. essentially making it dang near impossible for them to move on from him. This is one of the worst run franchises in sports. They refused to give power to Belichick, right, or Mike McCarthy because Mickey Loomis is there. They wouldn't do any of that. I don't know why Kellen was so desperate to take a head coaching job.
Yeah, I don't understand. I'm trying to look at the contract structure. I don't understand why they would have let that switch over unless Kellen just really does feel like we have no answers at quarterback right now. So he might as well just hang around until we get it straight.
Inside the Star and around the rest of the NFL here on Sean and RJ, along with our Cowboys insider Bobby Roberto Belt. It's one of my favorite segments of the year because I follow it to a T and I never lose. RJ Choppy with all the tips and tricks to fill out your March Madness brackets. Commercial free expressway with a PBR ticket giveaway as well after this.
He's thrown away! Young Pagotis! Go! Did we just see what we think we just saw? Wow!
Confetti!
Oh, baby. We have first four action tonight in Dayton, Ohio. We have first four action tomorrow. And we have the tip sheet right here.
Oh, baby. Oh, look
the
at
the tip sheet.
Look at this handwriting, ladies and gentlemen.
Look at that.
Two pages, Tony Kornheiser, old man Kornheiser over here. And this is invaluable. This may not have you definitely win your bracket, but for the purposes of this show, you will not lose your bracket.
There we go.
That's except all of us following his advice, one of us will get screwed because we're all taking the same advice, so somebody will still lose it.
Yeah, but all you guys don't follow to a T. No, RJ doesn't follow
true. I don't even follow
RJ doesn't follow it. I follow it most to a T.
And you win every year.
You do.
And I win the show challenge every year.
Every single
just going to copy your bracket.
Year.
So then the question is, why don't you follow it?
Because I watch too much and I'm like, that's not going to happen here.
Yeah.
That doesn't count for this team.
I have to blindly follow it out of fear of losing the show challenge. Because I'm not watching college basketball like you are.
Yeah.
And if I watched, right, during NFL games, you're like, have your own opinion.
Right.
You have your own expertise.
Absolutely. That weighs in. You use the numbers and you can either be completely beholden to the numbers or just use them as extra data points. Tonight, it's St. Francis and Alabama State. That's a first four game, 5:40 on True TV. And then at 8 o'clock, North Carolina and San Diego State. And North Carolina is the basically the jumping off point for a lot of the anger that's going on. Their athletic director, Bubba Cunningham, got a $100,000 raise, a bonus, by having them in the tournament. And it's like, all right, that's probably shouldn't have that in your contract if you're going to be on the selection committee. But so much so that it has angered men and women in the government of the United States of America. Patrick Morrissey is the governor of West Virginia, and he announced that they are taking legal action against the NCAA.
And I've asked Attorney General McCuskey to launch an investigation into the NCAA Tournament Selection Committee to determine if any backyard deals, backroom deals, corruption, bribes, or any nefarious activity occurred during the selection process. I know that the Attorney General and I are going to leave no stone unturned during this process.
I mean, you want to talk about some sour grapes. Is that not what this is?
Or is that winning over some local support?
Yeah, you're going to buy your votes. That's exactly what this is. You know, maybe don't lose by 24 to Pitt. Like, you know, maybe don't lose 13 games on the year.
What did Stuart Mandel tweet yesterday? I thought he was actually going to get in trouble for it at first.
Oh, they're playing? They were talking about the North Carolina plane being delayed, and he said the North Carolina plane ran into a quad one opponent.
That's right. It's great. It's a great line. It's a great line by Stewie there.
Yes.
I get it. Like, you know, you got to stop worrying about the 69th team here. Nice. At the end of the day, the 69th team is not winning the national championship. You want a better system? I agree. And my school's been the 69th team before. It sucks. It really does. I think that they should change the committee. The committee does not need to have anybody that has current biases on it. And that means by current employment on it. You have to be out of the sport. Because Bubba Cunningham gets $100,000 if Carolina makes the tournament, and then he gets another $250,000 based on performance within the tournament. You can't have those in your contract and be on the committee. You just can't. It's just very, very bad optics. Don't lose to a bad K-State team by 13, though. You know, they had 13 losses. Like, what do you want? What are we going to do here? So that is Morrissey, the governor, Patrick Morrissey, the governor of West Virginia. Now, shall we?
Let's do it. Get out your pens and paper, especially if you're driving.
All right, these are historic tourney trends. These are things that you just have to live your life by when it comes to the tournament.
Pepe, now, how much do you follow these? See, I think he is a little know-it-all, too.
Yeah.
Oh, no offense to you, Choppy. But I think Peyton Light is like, all right, I watch, I follow. I'm a little bit more of an expert here, so he's not going to be a total slave to the numbers like I am.
I mean, I follow them a little bit, you know, but I'm kind of like RJ. It's like sometimes you just got to, like, sometimes it's going to fail. One day it's going to fail. And so I'm just like, that. This is going to be the area it's going to fail. So I'm going to do whatever I want to do.
All right.
All right, here we go. Top seeds advance. Since 1985, one seeds are 154 and 2. Two seeds are 145 and 11. Three seeds are 133 and 23. And four seeds are 123 and 33. So those are all 79% winning percentages or above. Don't pick a one seed to lose. Don't really pick a two seed to lose. You know, three seeds, four seeds, you're getting 85 and 79%. I mean,
so the chalk ends up.
The chalk ends up. On average, 113 seed beats a four seed about 0.8 times per tournament. So, like the 13 seed, I said 79%. On average, it's 0.8.
So almost one.
Almost one.
So basically, 113 is going to beat a four.
Yeah, it's more like one every year and a half, right? So like one every. So like you have to like. The way it works, one every five, kind of.
Yeah.
Okay. Obviously, there's only four. 12 seeds beat a five 1.5 times per tournament. 11 seeds.
One and a half every tournament?
Yeah. So you got to have at least one. And then 11 and 10 seeds win over the 6 and 7 1.5 times per tournament each.
So you need one.
You need one of those.
Do you think you need 111 and 110? Or
you need 111, 110, and 112 to advance in every tournament. And you're going to need more. One of them, you're going to have two advancing. It's the way it is.
So, Chop, because a 13 seed won last year, would you recommend not picking one this year since it's one every 1.5 tournaments?
Good question.
I have a 13.
Okay.
I have two 13s.
Oh, wow.
I have two 13s.
This is why he loses. It happened last year, and he doubles up this year. He doubles down.
He can't help himself.
This is exactly why I lose. By the way, pick more 9 seeds than 8 seeds.
Oh.
9 seeds beat 8 seeds more often than not.
Pick more 9 than 8.
Yeah. If you just go to the betting line and see who's favored and bet the team that's favored just blindly, you're going to win more 9-8 games than anything else.
The last 3 years, 9 seeds are 8-4.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's worth knowing.
Okay.
So just find the betting line. Whoever's favored, take them. That's how it works. That's kind of how it shakes out with the 9-8. Upsets. On average, there are 8.5 upsets per tournament. That seems low. There's 63 games. 8-9 games, by the way, are not considered upsets. They don't consider those upsets.
Okay, well, then it doesn't seem as low.
Yeah, that's true. Now, in 9 of the last 13, those numbers are higher. We're north of 10 in 9 of the last 13 tournaments. The first round, you've got to have an average of 5 upsets.
5 upsets first round. 5
upsets of the first round.
See, that is gold. That's gold right there. Picking 1, 12, or a 10, that screws me because I'm like, all right, I got a bunch of these to have to pick. I'm not familiar with the teams, so that doesn't really help me. But looking back, after I fill up my first round, I got to know that there's 5.
5. Most we've ever had is 8. Okay. So it's got to be between 5 and 8.
Last year.
I think it may have been.
Yeah, it was.
Second round, you got an average of 3 upsets in the second round.
Three.
The most we've ever had is 6. And that was done 3 different times.
Okay.
The Sweet 16 and the Elite 8, that is a chalk round. Okay. Sweet 16, you average 0.25 upsets. The most we've ever had in the Sweet 16 is 1.
Gold! This is gold, Jerry.
All right. Now, since 2011, at least 1 7 seed or lower has made the Final 4 every year but 1.
Damn.
Lower, like 7, 8, 9,
7, 8, 9, 10, 10 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. Yeah.
Every year a 7 or worse has made the Final Four?
Since 2011, except for 1 year.
Oh, that's... Ooh. 7 or worse makes Final Four.
Yeah. You must have at least one of the first four teams that are playing tonight and tomorrow.
Yeah.
One of those teams is going to win the next round and advance to the round of 32.
So one first four, are we calling it, will win first round?
Will win the opening round, yeah. So one of these teams. So Texas, Xavier, Carolina, San Diego State. Those are the big dogs. Those are the 11 seeds playing. One of those teams is going to win the next round.
Or the American, Sean's team.
Or American, right?
Not the American.
Yeah, same thing.
Saudi. The Saudis.
So, for example, San Diego State and North Carolina, the winner plays Ole Miss. Texas Xavier, the winner plays Illinois. One of those teams that wins is going to beat either Ole Miss or Illinois. That's just what it's happened every year except for one.
Wow. I'm really surprised about that.
A number one seed is your best bet to be crowned a champion. Since 1985, there's been 39 tournaments. 25 of them have been won by one seeds. 5-2s, 4-3s, 2-4s, and then 1 each, 6, 7, and 8. No 5 seed has ever won.
Ooh. Never a 5.
Never a 5. So if you have a 5 seed winning the title, just don't even do it. Ken Palm. I still know what he's like on the radio or
who
TV.
Is this guy? What is this?
Ken Pomeroy. He has a website called Ken Palm. I love it. I swear by it. Every year since 2002, the champ has been inside his top 25 defense and top 40 offense.
All right. Say that again. Top 25
defense.
D.
Top 40 offense.
40. That's the champ.
That's the champ. These are your teams.
Woo. Giving it to us, y'all. Giving it to you on a platter with a college basketball kegger here on Sean and RJ.
The national champ will be one of these dozen teams. Duke, Florida, Houston, Auburn, Tennessee, Michigan State, Maryland, UCLA.
Crab five.
That's right.
UCLA.
Yep.
It was Maryland, then UCLA.
Uh-huh. Michigan, Clemson. Louisville.
There's a lot of damn teams.
Uh-huh. Iowa State or Wisconsin?
Ugh.
Are any of them 5 seeds? Clemson is, so no Clemson.
So no Clemson. Take Clemson out.
We're going to kill Clemson.
Good job, Bobby.
Now, you have to have these 7 teams in your Sweet 16.
Oh.
All right. In the last 3 years.
Has to be.
Has to be. If you're in the top 25 in offense and defense... in the last 3 years, you've made the Sweet 16.
Last three. All right.
Okay. Auburn, Duke, Florida, Houston, Clemson, Tennessee, Iowa State.
Oh, you're just making my life easy. I'm just having all of them automatically advancing to the Sweet 16.
Yep.
I don't even have to worry about it.
Now, teams that can't win.
Cannot win.
Do not have these teams as your national champ. St. John's, Illinois, Purdue, Kentucky, BYU, Missouri. They're all high seeds. They all fall outside of something, either first-year head coach to school or rookie head coach or outside of some of these metrics. So don't have those teams. Also, look at this. Every NCAA champ has made at least the second round of their conference tournament. So that eliminates...
Champ, okay.
All right.
So every champ
has made at least the second round of their conference tournament.
Okay.
So that eliminates UCLA, Georgia, and Texas A&M.
A&M.
All right. Michigan is eliminated because they have a first-year head coach at that school. Only Tubby Smith has won as a first-year head coach at their school.
Oh.
Okay. They got the guy from Florida Atlantic. Michigan State is also out. Eliminate Michigan State.
Why?
No top 2 seed has started the year unranked and made a Final Four.
Okay. We've crossed 4 off the list of like 9 that you gave us earlier.
And then every champ since 04 was in the top 12 in the Week 6 AP poll. So that gives you Auburn, Tennessee, Bama, Duke, Florida, Iowa State, Gonzaga, Houston, Kansas, Marquette, Oregon, Wisconsin, Arizona, and Texas Tech.
All right, that's too much for me.
Yeah, you read those too fast. I was keeping up with everything else.
So, two questions. Wisconsin is a player or not? I have them randomly written down on my paper somewhere.
Wisconsin is a player.
Wisconsin is a player. Yeah. And then the other thing in RJ Choppy's tournament tips, give us the injuries. Who are the big injuries or the team that has a problem there?
Well, Houston with Roberts. All right, he's banged up. Got an ankle. Cooper Flag, yep. Obviously. Kentucky. Kentucky has two guys that are hurt that are big time players for them. One of them's got he keeps separating his shoulder, I think Lamont Butler, he keeps separating his shoulder.
Somebody should fix that.
Yeah, somebody should fix that. So those are three really good teams that have got some injury bugs to them. And then Alabama, Grant Nelson's been banged up a little bit, and he's had a really creepy mustache, but he's a solid player.
RJ Choppy with your March Madness tournament tips. Take it or leave it. I take it every year, and I never lose the morning show battle. 4-1 Dodgers. They're about to put the Cubs away. They got two on in the top of the ninth as they are officially starting the season in Tokyo. This is the commercial-free expressway. It's Brian Broaddus' favorite segment coming up after we hook you up.
All right, Tolos, that's right. Right now, call number 10 at 877-881-1053 wins a four-pack of tickets to the PBR World Finals at AT&T Stadium in Arlington on May 16th through the 18th. That's call number 10 at 877-881-1053.
I feel like I say this every single week. I definitely mean it. Last night, the stop down, all the thought, all the deciding, it really just mixes me up inside coming up with the answers for Ask Reddit.
Do you have a question, Kelly?
Yeah, I have a lot of questions. Number one, how dare you?
It is Ask Reddit time. Get your answers in on the Frankel & Frankel Injury Attorneys fan text, 877-881-1053, 877-881-1053. We'll also get your thoughts on the Twitch and on the YouTube and kick them around the studio here as we answer the most viral questions that have been asked on the 50 million member Ask Reddit forum this week. And we're going to lead off with RJ Choppy. Chop, how long do you take to shower?
About 7 to 10 minutes.
That was my answer too.
Yeah, about 7 to 10 minutes.
Usually it's together. I mean, never mind.
We're together. Yeah, usually. The Monday shower is a little bit longer because I try not to shower over the weekend too often, and I just feel dirty. So that's a little bit longer of a shower sometimes. Got to wash twice in certain areas. It's I would say 7 to 10 minutes is my average.
Generally, two songs. Whatever it is, because I got the shower speaker in there.
Whoa!
And I'll throw on maybe I get into the third
two
song.
Two songs. That's like 4 minutes.
No, because I don't listen to any of this crappy new cloud rap music that's 2-minute and 20-second songs that I hate. We get 7 minutes in there roughly and then maybe into a third song. But I don't have as much hair as I once did that I have to wash. So that's kind of the big problem there.
Seen your back?
Huh?
So have you seen your back?
Yeah, but I can't reach back there. So I just got to let it all fall down.
Yeah,
my back.
That's what I do, different things like that.
Is Peyton Russ ready? No, he's not yet. Next one here on Ask Reddit here on 105.3 The Fan. 214 says 15 minutes, including shaving. Are you guys shaving the shower, people?
No.
No, I'm an electric shaver, so I just...
My new thing now, because I don't want to clog up the new house...
Shave outside?
And have to have Tolo Jeremy come over and fix it. No, I plug up... I used to shave outside. I plug up the sink, shave, and just wipe up with a paper towel, probably twice. Two wipes, get that hair out of there, throw it in the trash can, and then go about.
I've been doing that too.
Can't have a wet sink.
No, it's got to be a completely dry sink.
Yeah. But no, not in the shower, and don't let it go down the sink anymore. That's me.
That's me.
Pepe, how long average for the shower? Go ahead, I'm sorry.
10 minutes. I'm in and out.
The real question here needs really to be about your significant other and who's got the longest time there. Guarantee you it's my wife.
I did ask Kristen this last night because I was curious what her answer would be. And she's like, well, if I'm doing the whole thing, shaving and everything, I said yes. And so she said about 25 minutes.
Okay, but take shaving out of it. You're just your normal, typical shower.
So if she's not washing her hair, she's probably in there, I'm guessing 10 minutes, something like that.
Sarah?
She's if she's not washing her hair, I mean everything changes. She's generally pretty quick though. After shower, I mean it's a 30, 40 minutes.
Yeah, 10, 15 minutes if she's just...
Right. My wife needs 90 minutes to get ready.
Oh,
every time.
Ready.
Every time.
Every time it's 90 minutes. Like on the dot. Like you can set your watch to it. It's going to be an hour and a half to get ready.
Kristen gets so mad when we're getting ready because I will, like, when I need to get in the shower, it will be... I'll say I'm getting in the shower for an hour before I actually get in there. And then I'm in there and I get it done quick.
Then they come out and go, are you going to get dressed? Like they're sitting there blotching up their makeup and everything. Are you going to get dressed? I say, don't talk. Don't say anything to me. Don't say anything to me about getting ready. Not once in the history of the relationship have you ever beaten me to get ready. I wait to the last 5 minutes and I'll be done at the same time as you or maybe even a minute before. It's just their way of trying to get the heat off of them.
I was going to say, there's no greater high than when you're getting hell for not getting ready for an hour, and then you can walk in and go, you ready? And then they're sitting there still like, I just need like 5 minutes. It's like, of course you do. See, this is why you should just let me do my thing. All right, we're doing Ask Greta here on 105 Through the Fan. Peyton Russell, you're a manly man.
Yes.
What's one lesson every guy should learn early?
It's simple. Lift with your knees, not your back. When I was working out with my dad as a kid, you know, teenager, I was like, oh, yeah, I can lift this up. He's like, stop lifting with your back. You can't feel it now, but in 10, 15 years, you're going to feel it. So lift with your knees, not your back, no matter what you're lifting up.
Chop.
I have this toxic masculinity trait thingy where it's like, you need to learn that, like, the world doesn't care about your problems.
Mm-hmm. I don't think that's toxic.
Maybe not. Like, you have to be a man. You don't have time to have problems. Like,
never mind.
You know what I mean? Like,
that is toxic.
It's
just bury it all down.
Yes.
Melissa Manchester. Don't bury cry it out
all.
Loud.
Bury it all. Yep. You know, like, if you have kids, you don't have time to be sick. You know what I mean? Like you don't have time. Like
you got to power through.
Yeah, power through it. That's the word. You got to power through.
Neanderthal.
I am a Neanderthal.
Yeah. No. On this one, I was trying to think about this one. I guess the one that I would say is because I remember feeling this way at 20, and I knew so many 20-year-olds who felt this way.
Hang on. I want to break this down a little further. I want to take this to another level.
Get into this mind.
I want to get into your mind. So you don't go. Do you go home and like talk to Sarah like about issues, work issues? You vent it all out. You talk about it. You're like, this is what's going on. I'm ticked off over this. You don't have.
I try
this.
To bury a lot.
You don't.
I try to bury
you don't
a lot.
Go home and
sometimes,
share everything.
Sometimes I do, but like I don't consider that. I'm talking about like outwardly, outside your family.
Well, okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. You obviously you have to have.
I don't
an
know
outlet.
How many of us vent to like outside people. Like,
yeah, that's. I'm talking. I'm going more like the.
You go home and you're like, this sucks at work, or this I'm annoyed over this.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, I get that. Yeah, I get that. I'm talking more like the, you know, the rest of the world.
Yeah,
you know, it's not just about us. It's not just about
when
you.
When was the last time you complained about me or Sean when you went home to Sarah?
Don't answer.
Yes, sir.
The answer to this is
criticism of our indie coverage.
Mine is you're not invincible. Like that's when I was young, early 20s, like the idea of just like, what's the worst that could happen? Nothing. Like everything is so much more fragile than you feel like it is at 20, 21 or whatever else. And so just
well, you
recklessness.
Don't practice that. I have one thing I'm not going to say on the radio that you do where you act invincible. Don't think anything can happen.
Currently I do.
Yeah.
No.
It involved Taco Bell last time at RJ's house.
Oh, just relax. I didn't say
that
I
was
follow.
Bad. That was
I'm like
bad.
Chop. I'm like choppy with the tournament stuff. I have all this. I don't necessarily follow it, but I've got it myself. Sean, what's one lesson every guy should learn early?
This isn't really for guys. I'm always like trying to, you know, I'm like, where's the shortcuts? Where's the and everything at the end of the day usually results in you're going to work like 8 hours a day. I see all these stories. Choppy's always sending Gen Z. Mass quitting and raging out and how can
revenge
I
quitting,
revenge
baby.
Quitting and how can I take the shortcut? And I'm like, I've calculated like a lot of different professions and I'm like, even for us, I'm like, all right, you're just going to end up working probably 8 hours a day. Everything is designed for you to work at least 8 hours a day.
Yeah.
That's what I found. Even if you're editing social media content and you're trying to think of the easiest job, the biggest shortcut, somehow, in my opinion, the world has a way of just always boiling it down You're going to work 8 hours every single day.
Let's turn to the fan cam as well as the Franklin Injury Attorneys fan text for some of their answers. 619, just listen to your woman. That's one. 214 says, no matter what, you can never make a woman happy. No matter how hot a woman is, there's someone out there that's sick of her. That's another one of those answers. 903, enjoy your single years. And then 856 says, a real man don't have time for a bad time. All right, we're doing Ask Reddit here on 105 Through the Fan. Sean, what's the most annoying part of being you?
Ooh, that's a good question. The most annoying part, like that someone would find annoying about me or I find...
Annoying for you, your existence.
I think that it's annoying that for me, I can't leave a sports story alone, like even when I'm in chill mode, like... I have to post it. I want everyone following me to feel like they're going to get the news of the day, that I'm on top of it. Whether it's, you know, it's got to go to Instagram, it's got to go to Facebook, it's got to go to Twitter. Sometimes it may go to TikTok. Like, even if I'm off, which Brian brought us, I'm about to be even more of. So deal with it. The amount of screens, a lot of people have, when they have kids my age, their photos are just nothing but baby shots. I was going through mine. I'll do this on the airplane when I don't want to pay for the internet. It's nothing but freaking screenshots of sports stories. It's really bad. And it's too defeating that it's like going through your email. I feel like I can't go through it and start to attack this because I can't just, I have to go in every single one and be like, do I need this? Do I need that? And it's nothing but screenshots of sports stories. It's annoying.
Does it have a count? Do you have a number in that folder of how many screenshots you have in there?
No, I don't know how to break it down just to screenshots.
I have 7,500 screenshots.
You can find just the screenshots?
At least on my phone, you can't. I know when I just cleared off screen recordings, whenever I'm trying to record something for like video, I found it. What is it?
8,886.
Okay, so you're higher than mine is.
Wow. Well, I work harder.
you've had longer.
8,886.
I just cleared off 20 gig of space off my screen recordings just because it was like I'm always recording like video clips or whatever else.
7,300.
Oh my gosh. Most annoying part is probably just, again, and it applies to all of us, it's probably just the you split up your work day. Like how we get up in the morning and we're doing the show, and then like you're still then doing your prep at night. So whereas like some of the other shows here, they're doing prep and then they're into the show. Like we split up our work day and it's kind of separated. That's a little annoying. Peyton, what's the most annoying part of being you?
This is one thing that I think Mackenzie kind of told y'all dinner last Sunday was
she
like
told us a lot.
She told you a lot.
It sucks that I can't actually show my actual personality until I get to know you. Like until I get to know you, I'm not like as funny. I'm not as interesting. You know, because I'm sure when I first started the show with, you know, Sean and RJ, you know, you guys were like, this guy's boring on air. But now that you guys know me, you see me in the group text, see me out in public, you're like, okay, this guy's kind of a little interesting. At least I hope you do.
No, but your group text personality, I know it can't come out on air as much because of the jokes we make, but you're hilarious on the text. I mean, you're vicious and hilarious, and I'm like, how do we bring this over 100,000 watts without you getting fired? I don't think we can.
But it can be tough. It can be very, very difficult.
Yeah.
I've tried before, got in trouble, but, you know.
R.I.P. life hacks.
You know, I think I carry some guilt, like the old Catholic guilt or the I have maxed out my sick days. I never take my sick days. I'm really upset that I've left those on the table.
Yeah, I don't think any of us have.
I mean, you don't have time to be sick, though.
I know. I'm just saying. I wish I didn't. You know, I wish I would like have a lower like threshold if you had the calling in.
All right, if you had the paternity leave that I did,
yeah,
how many weeks would you take?
I would take them.
You would take them all?
Yeah, but I would take them all. I would probably take them all at once.
Well, I don't think you can take.
Yeah,
off
I don't think you can take
a
2 months
and a half straight.
Yeah, absolutely. Like that's very common.
I don't know that it is.
Well, I think like if you're a mom, I mean, I'm sure technically you could. I just don't know if it would be like, hey, could you break this up a little bit? I guess you could, but you would use all the weeks.
Yeah, I would use all the weeks.
Okay.
But yeah, I just have like I feel like I just, you know, I don't get sick for the most part anymore.
Yeah.
So I stopped smoking. But, like, I just, you know, I don't call in enough.
Right.
I wish
well,
I called
especially
in.
Now your contract is up.
All right, we're doing Ask Reddit here on 105 Through the Fan. RJ Choppy, what's a modern convenience that actually made your life harder?
It's made all our lives harder. It's technology. It's access. We're more connected. You know, work thinks that work hours don't stop at 5 anymore. You know, like they contact you on the weekends and after hours and they expect you to respond. It's made all of our lives harder.
So it really exploded, I feel like, the common, oh, we're all using GPS to get everywhere we want to get, after I started driving, like a few years after I started driving. And I feel like that almost locally made things a little more complicated, like the GPS did. Because to me, it was like,
now you don't know how to go anywhere.
You knew where to go, yeah, like in the past. Yeah. You just knew where to go or what. And now you're like trying to follow something and you're kind of distracted and maybe like, wait, is this the exit? What's this thing veering off? The GPS a little bit can
for sure
be a pain in the ass sometimes.
I disagree.
But what's your answer then, Sean?
I don't have an answer right now.
Okay, what's your answer?
I just disagree. I need the GPS at all times.
Paying to park with an app. You know, we used to just put coins in there, you know, at the meter. And now it's like, you got to download this app. And every time it's like, I could be in the middle of the city and like, you know, my connection, my phone, you know, connection just doesn't work at that moment. And I got to wait and pay for it and get an app download. I got to sign in for an account, everything. I'm going to use it one time. I hate it.
I'll really sound like a grandpa here, but like playing the music at my house is, it's dreadful. I really wish I got to go in under this app and then connect it to that speaker, but I don't want that speaker playing. And then I got to match up the different volumes. Just get out the damn boombox. You have the damn boombox, put it on your shoulder like the 49ers. But like just
press play, that big giant play button.
Yeah, the different technology in the house for the speakers to come on, or this room, or that sound system, or this TV, and that complicates things for me.
All right, Ask Reddit here. Sean Sharif, you're Mr. Food. You're the big foodie. What's an underrated pizza topping?
I might go mushrooms, because mushrooms can like give you that texture substitute for meat. Feels like you're eating something good, a vegetable. I also like green peppers.
Yeah.
But I'm
mushrooms and green peppers are really good together.
But I'm sometimes I just want a vegetable pizza.
Mm-hmm.
I just want a veggie pizza. I love onions on pizza, but that more people may order that. I might say mushrooms, but I'm thinking about venturing down an anchovy path.
Oh, okay, so Cowboys 1977 on the YouTube just said in all caps, anchovies. So you had an anchovy pizza before?
No, but I love anchovy. Like that Caesar salad that we had.
That was really good.
At Knife. That blew my mind the other day. I'm talking to the GM there afterwards. Like, what's in this Caesar? I taste the anchovy. And I still don't want to look at the anchovy, but I love the anchovy flavor. So I'm thinking about screwing around with a little bit of anchovy on pizza.
And it's not really a topping. It's more of the extra sauce.
I won't order one without extra sauce.
I hardly ever do.
Have to have extra sauce.
I love extra sauce.
214 says salami. 210 says jalapeno. Roasted garlic from the 214. Black olives, 214. For me, I really like Alfredo pizza. Like, I think Alfredo pizza is really good.
Really?
Yeah, and so when they've got an Alfredo sauce on there, I think that's good. Peyton, for you?
It's jalapenos for me. It was mushrooms, but it's jalapenos. I've recently discovered it. I used to not like it, but I was like, you know what? I need a little spice in my life on the pizza, so I'll go pepperoni jalapeno as my two-topping pizza.
Ask Reddit every Tuesday at this time. Thank you all for the feedback and the ideas on the Frankel & Frankel Injury Attorney text line here on DFW Sports Station. Appreciate you being a Tolo. That stands for turn it on, leave it on. How Jacob DeGrom is trying to reinvent himself. That's next on the home of the Rangers, 105.3 The Fan.